Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to three different places, and then we're going to look at some other things as well. But let's turn, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And you can put a gum wrapper in there. Another place we're going to turn, you don't have to turn all these at the same time, but a lot of you like to get the notes down and all that kind of stuff. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24 is one place we're going to look. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, that's another place we're going to look. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. And then the third place we're going to look is 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Now, with your pen in one hand, your paper in the other hand, the Bible in the lap, your fingers in three different places in the Bible, you're not going to have any way to take notes, are you? Anyway, here we go. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse 22, 23, and 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, look at it, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see there, you've got an old man and a new man. See that? All right. We will return to this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We're in the middle of context on every one of these, going right to the point. Notice, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. In those two verses we see that we have a natural man, in verse 14, and then that he that is spiritual, there is a spiritual man. Notice that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In you there are three sets of men. In you there are three sets of men. There's an old man and a new man. There's a natural man and a spiritual man. And there is a, as we see here, an outward man, an inward man. Three sets of men. That is, for every saved person, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, then you don't have these. If you're here today and you're not saved, you have a natural man. But when we get saved, we have an old man and a new man. We have the natural man and a spiritual man. And we have the outward man, and we have an inward man. And these are not the same. They're three different sets of men that are inside of us. And it's very important. It's very important for us, and we're going to try to do it tonight, Lord willing. It's very important for us to understand how these three different sets of men in us function and how they relate to each other. So that's what we're going to study tonight. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us with this. Father, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Honestly, Father, there's more in here than we'll be able to talk about tonight. There's more in here than I've seen in the time of looking at these things. But I'm asking You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with Your Holy Spirit so we can get out of these passages what You do want us to have. What You do want us to understand, what will make a difference in our lives. And we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at the old man and the new man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is what kind of creature? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's what it says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. At the moment that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, There is a change. There are many things that change in you, but there is a change that takes place with regard to this study tonight, where you now have in you a new man, and you now have what the Bible calls an old man. And they're both there. All right, let's say that you're 20 years old when you get saved. How old is the old man? He's 20 years old. How old is the new man? He's 5 seconds old. 10, 15. So he's very, very, there's nothing going on with him. He's just brand new. And the old man, very, very aged and experienced. If you're 30 years old, he's 30 years old, new man's a minute old. 40 years old, he's 40 years old, and the new man, 2 minutes old. In other words, the later that you get saved in life, the more hassle you're going to have from that old man because of the things that he has experienced in his life. Now look in Ephesians 4:22 and notice something right away about this old man. The old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. This old man that we're talking about is something in you that understands sin, that has tasted certain sin, that desires sin, that's lusting for sin, that finds pleasure in sin, that is incorrigible as it concerns sin. In other words, you can't train that old man to behave. He's just what he is. He's a dirty old man. That's what he is. He likes to cuss. He likes dirty things. He likes to look at things that aren't appropriate. He just finds pleasure in iniquity and things that God doesn't find pleasure in. He's corrupt. That's what he is. And listen, God never intended, after you got saved, for that man to be anything other than what he is. He is just corrupt. That's what he is. And the only thing to do with him is to put him off. He says here in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Well, if you put somebody off, what does that mean? When you use that expression, I just put him off. So-and-so was trying to reach me, I just put him off. What is it? That he's making demands. Somebody's trying to call you and make demands. And invite you to something you don't want to go to. And you don't respond to the invitation, you're putting him off. And that's what you do with the old man. You put him off. You don't adorn yourself with him. And turn to Colossians chapter 3. What you do with this old man is you mortify his deeds. And those members. All right. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, that's in the old man, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that's just, runaway lust, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In other words, God destroys children of disobedience for those things that are in your old man. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now I'll tell you where this really becomes a problem. Take children that get saved at a young age. 6, 7 years old, 9, 10, 11 years old, grown up in a Christian family. You know what they got in them? They got an old man in them. And you know what? That old man hadn't tasted sin yet. That old man has been having to endure all the times you've been sitting through church listening to the preacher say, you better not give in to the desires of that old man. And that kid's going, I wonder what that's all about that they keep telling me I shouldn't have that. And then what he does is he doesn't put off the old man or she. They unleash the old man to go out and experience all that. And for the first time, they are now beginning to feel the pleasures of sin in some very deep areas of their lives, and they're like, wow, this is great. One of these days they're going to look back and they're going to go, well, that was stupid. That was not very smart. But you don't understand, the old man is corrupt. Always corrupt. So what did Christ do for us? What did he give us to give us some way of putting this guy off? Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. Here's what he gave you. He gave you a cross. That's what he gave you. He said, just nail that old sucker up there and leave him. Kill him. Romans chapter 6, I realize that we are dealing with verses that are right in the middle of some great context, but in the context of our study, they're appropriately cited tonight. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And he goes all through that. It's wonderful. He says in verse 11, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. He said, just, it's on the cross. When a kid is 7 years old and he gets saved, that old man is on the cross. What he does is he pulls him down off there and said, let's see if we can experience some of this stuff they told us we're not supposed to have, see if we like it. Of course he's going to like it. The old man always likes that stuff. And he's never going to feel any differently about it. Do you understand? That's the old man, and he's corrupt. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I die daily. Everybody got up and he said, you know what? I got an old man that I'm dragging around here with me, and I'm going to remind myself that he's dead. Now, the new man, contrary and different than this guy, is renewed, look in Colossians chapter 3, after the image of him that created him. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 10. We read verses 5 through 9. Look at this. Have put off the old man, but watch this, verse 10, Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed, how? In knowledge. After the image of him that created him. So there is an image of this new man that's inside of you. And as you get to know that new man grows. He's renewed. He's renewed. So I get saved. My new man is a minute old. My old man is 20 years old. All right, I start getting in this Bible, getting under preaching, getting in the teaching of the Word of God, getting in fellowship with believers, being filled with the Spirit of God. And that new man is being renewed, really, day by day. And he's growing and he's being renewed, the Bible says, in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And that new man inside is growing. Christ inside of you is forming according to his design. God created him. And that new man is growing. And so as you're in that Bible and you're in that studying and all that you do, and praying and all that you do, that man is growing. And he's renewed. And what happens in Ephesians, back in Ephesians chapter 4, here's what happens to him. What happens to him is, you put on the new man in verse 24, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I've told you so many times before, the great problem that young Christians have, whether they grew up in church or whether they grew up out in the world and did this, is they put what they consider to be righteous clothing and holy clothing on the old man and try to dress him up and make him look like he's behaving. And that's not what you do. You just kill him and just admit he is an old, corrupt man. And what you do is there's no shortcut to this. That new man has to be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And he's renewed by you putting him on. There's no shortcut to this. And the longer you're saved and the more that you're in the Bible, the more that you're in prayer, that new man grows. And watch what happens. The righteousness of that new man and the true holiness of that new man now comes out in you. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak truth, every man truth. Why? Because the old man is a liar and the new man is truth. Be ye angry and sin not. How can you do that? The new man can, the old man never could. Neither give place to the devil. The new man never would. The old man loves the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. The old man steals. The new man works with his hands and gives it away. The old man, corrupt communication comes out of his mouth. The new man that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Old man grieves the Holy Spirit of God. He's bitter, verse 31, in wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. All that is the old man. Put it away. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. New man. New man. You see it? So it's very important then that you and I recognize every single day of our lives there is an old man and he's stinky. And he's got to be crucified, and there is a new man, and he has to be renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. All right, that's one set. There's one set of your twins right there. All right, here's the next one. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the reason that we're separating these is they have different characteristics, and you deal with them different ways because they work in you differently. There's no other way to deal with the old man than by crucifixion and death. No other way. Put him off. But here now we have this natural man and spiritual man. Look at verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God hath revealed them, those things that have been prepared for them that love him. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Save the spirit of a man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here we go. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, that is a spiritual man, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's in our spiritual man. We have the mind of Christ in our spiritual man. So there's a natural man, and he doesn't get it. He does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, and there is a spiritual man, and he does. Now listen, listen. The natural man, unlike the old man, is not necessarily bad. I always looked at him as the same. The natural man is not in and of himself a corrupt guy, a bad man. His problem is that he doesn't understand the things of God. That's what his problem is. If a spiritual man, that is a person who's saved and spiritual, gets into an argument or gets into a discussion with a natural man about things in this Bible, it's not going to work. He's going to end up beating his head up against the wall, and the reason is the natural man is going to come away from the conversation hopelessly confused. He doesn't have the capacity to get it. Now you can talk to him about the gospel. You can talk to him about what Christ has done for him. He'll get that, but to sit here and talk about, you know, creation versus evolution and all that to a natural man, he doesn't get all that. Why? He doesn't have faith. And faith is what allows us to understand that these things are true. By faith we understand that the, how does it word in Hebrews, that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. And when these guys get into these apologetic arguments trying to win somebody over to Christ, it just turns into a train wreck most of the time. And the reason is you're a spiritual man trying to talk to a natural man. He can't get it. Because the Spirit of God has nothing in him to reveal the truth of what you're saying. Not until he gets saved. And so, I say, deal with him in the core of the issue, which is his salvation. Now, when a saved man tries to understand the things of the Lord as a natural man, he's going to make a mess. In other words, if a saved man, so he got saved, but he comes to this Bible as a natural man trying to understand it, and he's not relying upon the Spirit of God to reveal it to him, he's not relying upon the Spirit of God to inspire the words of God to him, he's going to come away and make a mess. That's where a lot of the modern scholarship is. These guys look at this as a natural man. They don't get it. They go to Greek. They go to Hebrew. They go to their own, you know, other resources and come away and say, well, that's what it means. And it doesn't mean that at all. And they're hopelessly lost to understand this unless they can just humble themselves before God and say, as a natural man, I will not get this, but as a spiritual man, I can. Will your Holy Spirit please reveal to me, with the mind of Christ that you've given me, what it is you want me to understand out of this? And usually the Spirit will reveal it to him in such a way that the man can't make any money off of it and can't make a reputation for himself. And that's why they don't like it. Because Dr. DDMDLMNOPQRSTUV likes to make a name for himself so he can sell some books and get a big following. You see how it goes? That's the natural man. All right, now listen. In spite of the natural man's limitations in spiritual matters, the natural man does have things like natural affection and natural uses. And they're good. God designed you that way. He designed us that way. In Romans chapter 1, when he talks about the homosexuality creeping in as it has, he says the women leave the natural use of the body. Men leave the natural use of the body. And when those sins really filter down and all that trouble happens by Romans chapter 1 verse 31, he says, without natural affection. Many of us that are here today found our spouses before we were saved or living for the Lord, and there was a natural affection. And it was obviously it was good. You loved each other then, and you're married, and you've stayed married through all of that, and then you've gotten saved and continue to go on for the Lord. There's nothing, that natural affection is God-given. It's okay. It works. All right? The natural man has these natural things in you, and listen, his natural needs must be met. Your natural man needs to eat. I don't think you have any trouble understanding that. Your natural man needs to sleep. Your natural man needs to work. Your natural man needs to sweat and carry on his natural functions, for instance. That's why Paul would say, you guys, if you're not working, you don't get to eat. You're not going to solve that problem by spending all day in prayer meeting. You've got to go out and get a job. It's what the natural man does, and that's not bad. These needs cannot be denied. Do you understand that? So just because the natural man can't understand spiritual things doesn't mean he's a bad man. He's just not equipped for those spiritual things. But you've got him. He didn't go away when you got saved, and you have to take care of him. Now, if you think of this, the natural man, listen, and the spiritual man have to be in balance. In other words, the natural needs have to be met, and the spiritual needs have to be met. Some people, naturally, are caring, giving people. And so they think, well, I can be caring, and I can be giving, and I can be genuine like this, and I don't have to read as much Bible as somebody else that's not naturally that way because they got to catch up with me. No, you got spiritual needs in your spiritual man that can only be met by spiritual means. Preaching and teaching of the Word of God and all that fellowship and prayer and everything. The natural man's necessities and the spiritual man's necessities must be balanced. They have to be balanced in your life. You have to tend to both. Generally speaking, when they're balanced, the natural man might actually show some improvement. For instance, he might take better care of himself as a natural person once he starts getting spiritual insights from the Lord about how to take care of himself. He says, hey, I can do better than this. Why? Because I've been instructed spiritually about how God made this natural man, and I'm going to be a better natural man or a better natural woman. I keep saying man, but I'm not excluding women, as you understand. The Bible uses that term, man. However, while they're in balance, listen, this is very, very important. All of this is, but this is very important. Their differences must be understood. You must be able to distinguish the difference between a spiritual problem in your life and a natural problem in your life. Because they're not the same person. Listen, if the natural man, or if a man is weakened or ailing because of natural causes, he is not going to find the remedy if he only looks for possible spiritual causes. Let me say it again. If you're having a problem in your life that is caused by a natural ailment, you can pray all you want to fix it, and it's not going to go away. You have to deal with the natural problem. Years ago, when I first got into the ministry, I had problems with depression. I won't go into any of the details. I just did. I prayed more. I fasted more. I was more faithful. I did everything. I searched the Scripture trying to get to the root of that problem because I believed that it was spiritual. Through a freak deal of getting Giardia and then ended up going to a doctor after glucose tolerance test, found out I was hypoglycemic. He recommended that I get off of sugar, got off of sugar, and I mean, there was instantly a change that over a few years continued to get better as the sugar was no longer in my system. This is not a sermon about not eating sugar and white flour. God used that to show me, listen, your problem was not spiritual, it was natural. And you couldn't fix it dealing only with the spiritual things. So there are problems that you have that have a very natural solution. And you keep racking your brain up there with God trying to figure out a spiritual underlying cause and solution, and you're not going to find it. Because it's a natural problem sometimes. Now, once those natural causes were being addressed, then I could see the spiritual problems as well. Here's another thing. If your problem is spiritual, you're not going to solve it by treating the natural man. And I believe today what's happened is that there is now an inordinate emphasis on natural health care and natural health products for Christians, and those things are diminishing the strength of the spiritual man. Because they think it all has a natural cause, and a lot of times it's a spiritual cause. You got to be real careful. So you have to, this is not old man, new man stuff. This is spiritual man, natural man stuff. And you have to be able to make the distinctions. You have to understand natural man is not the old man. He doesn't need to be crucified. He needs to be cared for. But he needs to be cared for the way God designed him to be cared for. And if you weigh too heavily on the naturals, and I've watched it, it has infiltrated churches and it's doing some things. You get too much over here, you're going to start putting way too much emphasis on the natural man and you're going to neglect the spiritual man. If you try to deal with it always as a spiritual problem and you're letting your body go to wreck, you're not going to solve the problem. You got to get the balance and understand them, how they relate. Okay? So you got the old man and new man. You sort of see how that is. Way to deal with the old man, put him off and let him be crucified. Let that new man be renewed. What you're doing in here tonight with prayer meeting and what we're doing, that's really bringing you some strength. And then over here on the natural man, spiritual man, get that balance in your life. You cannot neglect the spiritual man's needs. You cannot overemphasize the natural man's needs. They have to be in balance. All right, now we go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and we've got this outward man and this inward man. Another set of men. Some more twins, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause, and he's running this thing out, about how they've been distressed and persecuted and all that other stuff. But he says here in verse 16, For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, well, that's not a guy that's hanging on the cross, because he's dead already. And he's not the natural man. He's the outward man, and he perishes. We're all growing older, and one of these days we're going to die. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. All right, you know what your body is? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? All right, well, if you consider that the natural man, you're going to do all kind of stuff to him. You're going to worship that temple. That's not what he's talking about. It's an outward man. That thing is called the temple of the Holy Ghost. And listen to what he says. Know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That body, that outward man, is a place where the Holy Spirit now resides. So what is the inward man? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is a conversation regarding women being in subjection to their own husbands. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, look at this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, watch how this outward man, inward man works. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation is not just what you say, it's your whole demeanor, it's your body language, your conduct, everything, coupled with fear. Watch it. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. Usually when a woman wants to get her husband's attention, she dolls up these things here, hair, gold, putting on of apparel. Verse 4, watch it. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The hidden man of the heart. That's your inward man. It's Jesus Christ who comes and takes residence inside of you. Watch it. As the inward man is affected and is growing, as Jesus Christ has more and more possession of you, as He forms Himself. Paul said this in Galatians. He said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. As Christ is forming Himself in you, in this inward man, and being renewed day by day, the work that He's doing on the inside is becoming apparent on the outside. In other words, I didn't have to make outward changes in order to make myself acceptable to you. Jesus Christ made some inward changes. If the inside of the cup and platter be clean, the outside is also clean, He said to the Pharisees. If He works from the inside, then He'll take care of the outside in time. The outward man is affected by what's going on the inside. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and look at verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is what Paul calls work out your own salvation. Look how he says this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Watch it. Here it is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, as God is in there working, as is Jesus Christ is in there growing inside of you, or you're taking more possession, as the Spirit of God is filling you, and your inward man is becoming more apparent than the outward man, what's happening is you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling as God is working in you. And that's how you can glorify God in your body. Because it's what He's doing on the inside that counts. That's how you can glorify God not only in your spirit, but in your body. I mean, if you think about this, I'm an old man in more ways than one. I'm an old man, but that old man is crucified. I'm a natural man, and I have to take care of it. I'm going to go to sleep tonight, get some good rest, Lord willing. But then I've got an outward man, and listen, what you see up here tonight that's preaching is not the man that you would have seen 30 years ago. And I didn't make changes in my life to make myself more presentable as a preacher. God did something on the inside that came out on the outside that is giving me or you or any of us the opportunity to do what we do for the Lord in the capacity that we do. You understand that? Well, you've seen the t-shirt. I'm not the man that I should be, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be. I'm a work in progress. There's some truth to that. And it's affecting the outward man. Do you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You ask yourself the question, if the natural man has no spiritual inclination whatsoever, and the old man has to be crucified, how in the world can 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 be true? It can be true if you consider that we have an outward man that is a possession of the Lord. He bought it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that every one of us may receive the things done in His, what's the next word? Body. According to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. It's not the old man, it's not the natural man, it's the outward man. It's something that God is doing in this vessel that brings Him glory, that He can reward you for at the judgment seat of Christ because you became a willing vessel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. I know I'm showing you a lot of Scripture, but a lot of Scripture is affected by this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul spends the entire chapter talking about his role in the ministry, his work in the ministry, his privileges and responsibilities in the ministry. And then watch what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at the end, very last verse. He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you see that? That's that outward man, and he's got it under control. He's got it under subjection. He's got that body that is temperate, where God can do something with it. What happened to Paul's outward body? He got beat up. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through, we don't have to turn there, verse 30, stripes, imprisonments, bonds, beatings, stoned, shipwrecked, perils, starvation, thirst, fasting, prayer. I mean, that outward body, you know what he said? Though our outward body, what was the next word he said? Perish. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That outward man is the place in your body. You know what he said in Galatians 6:17? In Galatians 6:17, when he's wrapping up his letter to the Galatians, kind of putting this nail in the coffin, he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. As his inward man grew, his outward man became more like Christ. And you know what? The same thing happens in your life. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we started this thing on the outward man and the inward man. Look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 10. You see, look how it goes in. Look at verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. See that? Outward man troubled. Outward man distressed. Perplexed. Outward man persecuted. Outward man cast down. Inward man, not distressed, not in despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. Watch it now. Verse 10. Here we go. 10, 11, 12. This is what happens to us. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh us, but life in you. It's not the natural man in the sense that the natural man really doesn't have spiritual inclinations. It's not really the old man. He's crucified. It's this outward man. It is something that God is doing in us through our death with Him that manifests His life in our flesh. Supernatural work. The outward man. It's a testimony. Why would it be that way? Because man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. Men have no way of looking inside of your heart, so God gives you an outward man that they can see that is a testimony of what's happening on the inside. That is a testimony for Christ and brings them to Christ. And so if a guy gets saved and he's going to dress up the old stinky man and bring him in as a self-righteous hypocrite and try to impress everybody with what the Lord's doing in his life, you can smell that thing like a dead rat. Because it's not something that Jesus Christ did, and it's not really an outward man. It's a man that ought to be dead. That outward man is in subjection to Christ, and just as obedient as the inward man, except it has some appearance, and it has, listen, the marks of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ all over it. I know he was talking about the beatings, Paul was, the marks of the Lord Jesus in his body, but it's got the marks of the hand of the potter on your clay. And that's why he tells women, when you're trying to be in subjection to your own husbands and they're not being obedient to the word, don't try to dress up the natural appearance and impress him with that. Let all that go and let it be the hidden man of the heart. It will come out in a meek and quiet spirit, in a chaste conversation, and that will win him without the word. It's what he sees. And that's the outward man. So you got these three sets working on you, in you, and you want to understand them so that you can deal with each one of them appropriately and let God deal with each one of them appropriately so He can accomplish in your life what He wants to do and you don't get the ones confused with the other. Amen? Amen. Father, thank You so much tonight for some, fabulous instruction in the Scripture. Father, You've taught me a great deal through this, and I pray, Heavenly Father, we'll have some wisdom now. I realize it's a lot to digest, but as it's digested, Father, I believe it's going to be it's profound to me, and I believe to our folks as well. Please help us to have skill and wisdom not to confuse these men that are in us, Father, and that are part of us, so that we treat each one right according to the Scripture. We ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.